The Lord is good. All right, let's open our Bibles and let's declare God's goodness, God's glory from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 2. Let's use that one again. We're going to read from verse 2 and we're going to do all the way to verse 10. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides you. Is there any rock like our God? Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed. The boasts of the mighty are shattered, and the feeble get on strength. Those who were full hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry ceased to hunger. Even the barren gives birth to seven, but she who has many children languishes. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to show and raises up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low, he also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world on them. He keeps the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give strength to his king. I will exalt the horn of his anointed. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning because you will exalt our horn. Amen. You will lift us up. Amen. You will judge us with your goodness. Amen. And have mercy on our shortcomings. Amen. Lord, our hearts are open to receive again today an infusion of your spirit. Amen. Fill us with more of you this morning. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because we believe you do that for us, we declare as follows. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. Let's start this morning from the book of Psalms. We'll read Psalm 119. We started about two meetings ago talking about this word of God. And what I feel we should continue on this morning is that same word. That is how the word of God works. Let's take our text from Psalm 119. We are going to read a few verses. You know, Psalm 119 is broken into segments. So, okay. We are reading the Shin section. Just reading 8 verses. That's how Psalm 189 is. I hope you know that. That's how Psalm 119 is. You know? Each one is 8 verses. Yes, they're divided like that. Okay? Now let me start reading, please. It says, princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. That is, my heart trembles only at your word. That is what New Living Translation says. It says, powerful people harass me without cause, but my heart trembles only at your word. That's what it was implying there. That is, circumstances in life may try to disturb me. They don't disturb me. Only your instructions disturb me. Do you understand my point? You see, things may be tight here. Say, run over to this other side because it's easier there. David said, no. I will only move over to the other side because the Lord says so. If the circumstances are indicating what the Lord is saying, I will respond.
But if it's not indicating what God is saying, you will not have made shift. Many of us believe that Moses left Egypt because princes were persecuting him. Like he said, the powerful people harassed me. Even though in Moses' case, there was a cause. But you know, in the light of the purpose of God, there was no cause. So we think that's why he ran away from Egypt and ran into the wilderness and he got to Midian. But the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 that was not what happened. The Bible says he moved by faith. The word faith is often misused. We think by determination, by knowing that God can do something for me and believing that God is always available for me to catch him if necessary. No, that's not what faith means. When it says by faith, it means I discovered from God's word and in obedience to what the word was indicating, I moved. Do you get my point? When people, a lot of time, when we say by faith for a lot of us Christians, the thing we mean that by confidence that I have a powerful God. That's not what faith means. That's not what faith means. Even though you should have confidence knowing that your God is powerful. No, that's not, there's a side of it here that is true. But the main thing about faith is that there is something that God has said. And based on what he said, I'm moving, I'm operating. Because sometimes maybe somebody will decide to take an action. Why are you doing this? I'm doing it by faith. What do you mean by faith? I just know that God will help me. Wait, excuse me. What initiated this move? You cannot get something initiated by yourself, then expect God, because he has power, to move. That is not faith. Sometimes he will show mercy, realizing that, well, you're a child, you make mistakes, he will stretch his hands and help you. But faith means that I discovered his word. It affected my action. That is what faith is. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. There's an illustration I use, okay, once in a while. There's one woman during the Second World War, somewhere in London, that because of the bombing raids that the Germans would come and bomb London. So they have bomb shelters. Everybody go and hide in the bomb shelters. So when the siren runs, usually at night, that's when the planes come. Everybody runs over there. Then after a while, they stop seeing this woman. So they assume that maybe she had gotten killed in one of the raids. Or maybe something happened. It was war. People were dying. All right, even civilians. The Germans were doing all kinds of things. So they just thought maybe she had died. So this particular pastor one day was going along the road one day and saw the woman on the road. Ah, madam, you are alive and well. Yes. He said, we don't see you again, because that was their neighborhood bomb shelter. We don't see you there again. So we're wondering whether something had happened to you. The woman said, no. She normally, when the sirens go off, she's at home sleeping. Did you hear what I said? Everybody else is getting up, rushing, half-dressed to the bomb shelter before they blow up your house and you die. Then she lies there in bed, covers her head, and continues sleeping. Why? Why would you do that? He said, because one day she was reading in her Bible, Psalm 121, that the Lord neither sleeps nor slumbers. And she said, there's no need for two of us to do the job. So if the Lord would not sleep and slumber, then I have to sleep and slumber. See, the word of God gave her, it's called insight, it's called understanding. A rima came out from that scripture to her, which means stop running up and down at night. I don't need to tell you that nothing ever happened to her. Her house was never bombed, and she kept on sleeping. Once it's night, no matter the siren you want to blow, mama is asleep. So if you say she stayed home by faith, that's what it means. There has to be a word you are relying on that ignites something in you. That is when you say you are taking an action by faith. Many people do copycats and they call it faith. No, this man, the time he was traveling, he didn't have money too. So he entered the road and he got to where he was going. They don't have any money, nothing. And they are thinking of that man's testimony. They enter the road and that's it. 2 days later, they have not reached Lagos. And they say it's faith. It's not faith. If you are copying somebody, it's not faith. If you are just assuming something will work because you learned one principle somewhere, it's not faith. Faith is when God, the Holy Spirit, opens the word of God to you. And the word of God provokes action. You are doing something because God says so. Quickly open to that book of Hebrews chapter 11. Please, we'll come back to this, our reading in a moment. Let me just take a moment and go to that Hebrews chapter 11, please. I want to just read that story, that comment about Moses, for us to get it. Look at what he said about Moses. He started talking about Moses in 23, but go down to 27. Now, let me read some more. What I want is 27, right? But because we are there, let's just read some more. He said, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. What does that tell you? The word of God had been revealed to him. We suspect the mother taught this to him, all right? Because, you know, she raised him as if she was raising a daughter, a son for Pharaoh's household. But actually, she was prophesying over the boy, we believe. When the Bible says that he was a beautiful child, that, you know what that means? They got, you know, Samson was a beautiful child in that context. This beautifulness is good, right? The English. Uh-huh. This beautifulness is not unique to Moses. Samson was a beautiful child. Do you get my point? What does that mean? The angel came and told Manoah, this is what is going to happen. So when the boy was born, they knew he was a child of purpose. Do you follow that point? Now, it's not only them. Anyone who understands it is a beautiful child. For example, I am a beautiful child. I don't know about you. Your mouths are closed. I am a beautiful child. What does that mean? You know, a lot of Christians don't understand that. A lot don't. I said many years ago, we went on to visit my parents. So my mom said something to me. No, we're just discussing, you know, about life generally. I used to have this private specialist practice in my field when I first came to Enugu. She now said, how's it doing? I said, oh, that one, I've shut it down. Of course, you'll be surprised. Like, why should you shut down a way by which you make extra income for yourself? She said, why? I said, it takes too much time from me. That time, ministry, Kingdom World Ministry had started. You know, when we started Kingdom Word, initially, we're just writing tracts, all right, and printing tracts. My wife and I will fold the tracts, and then we'll distribute the tracts. Then the time came when we began to hold these meetings like this, the one we're holding till today. We started. So little by little, the work was picking up. All right, of course, I started getting, come and preach here, invitations to go there. So we're doing the stuff. So I now said that, look, this is, and if you know, anyway, let me not go into that. No matter how small it looks, things take a lot of time to run. So something had to give. All right? So I shut down that practice. That's what I did. So I told my mom, I said, see, the reason why I did was because of just what I explained to you. That ministry is growing and it's taking time. So I have to get time from somewhere. And the easiest one was to shut that one off. She now made a statement. She said, but ministry doesn't pay you money. And listen, ministry wasn't paying me money. It was taking money. That little ministry we're doing, I think I will say, okay, and I can't remember for sure now, it's been some time, but definitely more than, I was going to say 90, but let me just drop it to 80. More than 80% of the money we're spending was coming from my household. So when she said ministry doesn't pay, it makes sense. It wasn't paying. Not only was it not paying, it was taking. Most of the money was given by my wife and I. All right? In fact, I remember I wanted to buy something once. I had money. And I, as a pastor and the technical supervisor and everything, I was going to use, it was a new computer. We needed a new computer. And I had money to buy it. I said, no, now, Kingdom Word should buy his own computer. You know what I did? I took the money, gave it to Kingdom Word, then took it to go and buy the computer. So we entered the record that we bought computer for this amount. Don't worry about who donated the money. Ministry was taking money from me, wasn't giving. So when she said that, but ministry doesn't pay you. I said, I remember, is the answer I believe the Holy Spirit put in my mind. I said, what shall we do then? Now listen to this. I said, what are we going to do? Will we say because it is not paying, we will not do the reason why we're giving life? I said that to my mom. And I said to her, I said, this is the reason why God gave me to you. I said, this was why you conceived me and I did not die at birth. I gave her those words. I said, whether it pays or not, we have to do it. A lot of people think that serving, doing the work of the Lord, whichever way it is about offering God a service. No, it's about being alive. It's the reason why you live. Don't ever let somebody offer you something different. Do you understand? Maybe like now. They say, okay, come over here and do this. And your income will increase tenfold. If you don't have any inkling that is the reason why I'm alive, don't go. Poverty is better than misdirection. I hope you get my point. No. Poverty is better to be in the will of God and don't have money. It's better to be in the will of God, that this is what God wants me to do with my life. It's better to be doing it and not be buoyant financially than to miss God and be in the midst of abundant prosperity. A lot of people don't understand that. The thing I told my mother, it means what? That's the meaning of beautiful child. That's what I'm saying. That's why I told you I am a beautiful child. So when they call Moses a beautiful child, it was not, oh, this boy is so cute. He's a little cute. Every baby is cute. Do you get my point? That's not what we're talking about. It is that this one was given to you for a purpose, and you had to raise him for that particular purpose. Manoah actually asked the angel, what is the special thing we are supposed to do concerning this boy? And they let him know that he will not drink wine, no razor shall touch his head. He had to take the vow of a Nazarite. The boy was not fully trained. Let's leave that matter. But that's the principle. And listen, today, if God is giving you children, remember, as a Christian, Christianity, oh my God, thank you, stay on your message before I start moving. Each child he gives you must be a beautiful child. And you inculcate into their heads from the time they are young. Let me explain something. Children learn from you even if you don't directly teach them. Have you ever taught them how to speak? Say, mommy. Say, daddy. No. Say, I want to. They just speak it as you are speaking. They just speak it. My friend's daughter, his first child, used to do one funny thing. Daddy. Daddy, and he calling his father. Daddy. Daddy, if he doesn't answer, he will shout, sweetheart. She will shout, sweetheart. And this sweetheart always works. Usually, her voice has increased. And she's like, sweetheart. Why? That is how the mother calls the husband. So when he calls daddy, he doesn't answer. He always answers sweetheart. What I'm trying to say is that there's a way you will relate with your children, with your own life. You will give them the impression life is aimless, is purposeless. We are serving God like one of those gods. We serve him like one of those other idols so that he can bless us. Do you follow my point? But there's a way you will teach them, they will know that, we have to serve God's purpose with our lives. Very important what I've just said to you. So Moses, back to what we're saying. Let's go back to that Hebrews chapter 11. We'll go back to our Psalms in a moment. Verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Now, I won't read further than that in that section. So, faith means he was obeying a word from God. Verse 27 said, by faith, he left Egypt. That's why I came to this. By faith, he left Egypt. Sorry, it was not by desire that he prayed about. Which is why how a lot of us think faith is. It was not by desire that he prayed about. It is what the word of God triggered in him. Do you understand my point? So the woman with the issue of blood, even though she had desire, but that was not what Jesus called faith. It was when she heard about Jesus. Do you get my point? There were words that were coming to her that triggered that set of steps in her life. She was responding to a word. If you are not responding to a word, it's not faith. A lot of people are operating desire, they call it faith. A lot of them are using spiritual stubbornness, they call it faith. You know, like, what I mean by spiritual stubbornness? I withdraw the word spiritual. They're just using stubbornness. I've made up my mind, this is what God will do by December. One thing I've noticed that it's not often God gives dates, even when you have a desire that he grants. It's not often. Occasionally it does. By this time next year, you hear him say once in a while. But most times, he calls Abraham, come, I will bless you. That's it. That blessing has no date. Do you know why? The reason being that there's what they call the season, the Kairos time, in which it's not the counting of minutes, hours, seconds, seconds, minutes, hours, days, and weeks, and months, and years that matters. It is what each one is fulfilling. So when God starts with Abraham, say, Abraham, this 25 years can be 10 years. This 10 years can be 50 years. This 50 years can be 40 years. A day with the Lord is 1,000. It's like 1,000. So please, don't do calculation. I've seen people do eschatology based on that calculation. You know something? Like, they just say, okay, Jesus said this, so each day is 1,000. No, it's not. Please, oh God, I don't like when people do things that are not good. It's not good. Each day is not 1,000. He's saying that a day with the Lord can be like 1,000 years. If you have been alive for 1,000 years, to the Lord is like a day, which means 500 years can also be like a day, which means 10 years can be a day. What he's saying is that anywhere along the scale, that's what I call the hyper-literal interpretation of Scripture. I don't believe in it. You know what I call hyper-literal? Just for Bible students. You take, he said, this is what he said. You'd be quoting it literally. As if God cannot use analogies, cannot use scales. Do you get my point? Jesus used to use things. My best example. He said you swallow a camel and you strain out a gnat. You strain out an ant, you swallow a camel. Did you ever see a Pharisee put a whole animal, like a camel, into his mouth and swallow? No. Do you understand what I'm saying? So please get that clear. So when they say a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, it can be anything along that scale. Do you get what I'm saying? That is, a day with the Lord can be 2 weeks. A day with the Lord can be 6 years. It can be 7.5 years. A day with the Lord can be 850 years. And it can be 1,000 years. What am I trying to say? The 25 years was not determined concerning Abraham at the beginning. God could, in his foreknowledge and his understanding of the person of Abraham, have calculated 25 years for you. But that was not because he determined 25. But he said, Abraham, you must learn this, learn that, learn this, learn that, learn all of these things. For example, leave your father's house. His father went with him. And your kindred, Lot, went with him. God said, we'll have to remove your father. He died along the line. We'll have to remove Lot. Lot separated from him. Then you have to learn to entertain strangers, not knowing that they are angels. All of those things happened. Then one day, God said, everything is now set. Faith had been built to a level where God could now say, by this time next year. Do you get what I'm saying? So, a lot of people who are saying, doing faith, and say, I've told God by December. You can't tell God by December. He's the only one that can tell you by December. Do you get what I'm saying? He's the one that knows. You see, you are thinking what I have need of. Israel thought they had need of deliverance from Rome. God said, no, you have need of deliverance from sin. Yes, so the Messiah they were expecting was a military ruler, not a lamb that would go and die on the cross. When the Messiah came, he was a lamb that died on the cross. Do you get the point? So you don't know what your life is about, so you cannot decide that I've told God by December. God said, wait. The matter we are talking about that I'm trying to accomplish in your life, you are not even looking like you are going to. By the time APC finishes the first tenure in office, you will not even have started the way you are going, and you are telling me by December. Faith is not when you determine something. is when the word of God triggers something. So you are making a step. You are doing something because the Lord says so. That is what faith is. I hope you are getting my point. So, back to what we're reading. 27. By faith he left Egypt. How did he leave Egypt? By faith. Why did he leave Egypt? By faith. He said, not because he was afraid of the wrath of the king. He said, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is unseen. That is the reason why Moses left, was because the word of the Lord came to him. I believe by an angel. Now that's just my own thought, okay? And the angel said, arise, take the child and his mother and go to Egypt. Why did God say that Joseph should take Mary and Jesus to Egypt? It was not for the safety of the child. I can tell you that. Many of us say it's wisdom. They say it's wisdom. If God is prospering, you don't tell anybody. Can't you see that Jesus had to go and hide in Egypt? I said, you think it was for fear that Jesus went to Egypt? Then you don't know the Lord. You don't understand him enough. Why did he go? I don't know. A word was fulfilled. From Egypt, I called my son. Jesus had to do that. But it wasn't because of fear. Do you know why? Jesus made it clear. If God needed 12 legions of angels to wipe out Herod and everybody looking for the child, he would do it. It was not for the child's safety. The child's life was not at risk at any point in time. People think, no, you think about it. So if Herod had stayed there, Joseph had stayed there, Herod would have killed that boy? No. Is it thinkable? No, think about it. It could not have happened if Jesus sat there in the manger, alone, at home, with Mary, and 50 Herod soldiers coming. Could they kill him? They couldn't have killed him. God didn't send Jesus to Egypt because of security. I heard this story just to give an illustration of the kind of person that the Lord is. I heard a particular church, you know, a nation. Let me not mention that. You can find out. Some of you will know the story. A set of instructions were written. And there are different instructions. One was written, had been obeyed, fulfilled. Another set was written, but sealed in an envelope. And they told the people to guard it, that a time will come, the person that's supposed to open it will come and open it. People heard about it. One day said some men came. And it's guarded by angels. That's where I'm going. God put a cherubim at the gate of the garden. So you can't put one to guard the house of Jesus Christ. Think about it. This envelope is said to be guarded by angels. That one day two men came and said that the Lord said they should open it. The custodians don't worry. They said, all right, go. If you can, go. They went in there. And an angel struck the two of them and they died. Angels guarding an envelope. An envelope containing prophetic instructions. So you think those angels could not have guarded Jesus Christ? Please. Read your Bible well. You see, that's one thing about scriptures. Look, don't feel like you've read it 5 times. There's nothing more for you to read. No, you have not read anything, no. Each time you read a new thing, even those of us who preach, sometimes I don't even want to preach yet. I want to start preaching later when I'm sure I have enough understanding. The other day I was playing with my kids yesterday morning. I said, say, daddy's anointed. They looked at me like, this man, did he smoke something this morning? But they said it anyway. What would they do? Said, daddy's anointed. I said, let me explain what it means. It means when I talk, we'll start studying Ecclesiastes. And I told them how I got into the understanding of Ecclesiastes. What I meant by that is that it is not daddy that is talking. It is the spirit upon him. It's not him. That's what I meant. Some people think that you are bragging. No. Actually, it's a statement of humility that these things I'm saying, I don't know enough to say them. But the Spirit comes upon me and helps me to say things. What I'm saying so is that sometimes, as a preacher, you wonder, should I say anything? Because the same scripture you preached on, when you return after 5 years, 10 years, sometimes 20 years, you wonder, what? Who preached this? Nothing wrong with what you preached then. It's new insight. So when you read it, like now, before, until just a few years ago, I thought Moses ran away for safety, which is what you will think if you read Exodus. It's only when you read Hebrews that Paul explained to us emphatically, I just think it's Paul, that it was not because he was afraid. He left because an angel came and told him, "Thus says the Lord, leave Egypt." But physically, you think he ran. But he didn't run. He was obeying God. Moses did not run. He was obeying God. The reason Moses left, the Bible tells us here clearly, it was how? By faith. He left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. He said, not because he was afraid of the wrath of the king. It was what? Faith. So what is faith? Let me just tell us again. Faith is when actions are dictated by the word of God, revealed to you one way or the other. I told you before, the day we went on radio, The Way of Success on Cosmo FM, it was because I was waiting for my wife in church. She had gone for a meeting. They were having a meeting after church. So I just sat in my car, and typically, it's the kind of thing I do to while away time. I always have something playing. So those days, there was no smartphones and social media, so it was still cassette tapes in my car stereo. So I just pushed the tape in. While she was doing her meeting in church, I was in my car listening to a message. And while the message was going on, I heard, now, I can't remember what the man said. What I remember is what I heard. It was just strong in my spirit. Say, look, enough of time wasting, enough of waiting, time to get on radio. I tried that before. The cost drove me away. This time around, there was no improvement in the finances. No. But the word came. See, the cost could drive me away because the word had not come. But when the word of the Lord came, I went back. And you know what the word did? It opened doors. It opened doors. Where's our sister Uju? I went to her radio station. All right? I negotiated a deal with them. I was going to go on that radio station. I don't think she was there then. So I was now in my office. I was going back the following day. I told people I would come after a few days. Then somebody just said that, go to Cosmo FM now. One of my colleagues said, go to Cosmo FM. I said, no, I've been there before. Huh? If you didn't cause the charge. He said, I talk to them now. And this guy, listen, knows nothing about radio, knows nothing about broadcasting, knows nothing about marketing, nothing. He told me, why don't you talk to them? Meanwhile, he had never talked to them. I don't know whether I get my point. He wasn't seeing it out of experience. No, he wasn't. He just said, why don't you talk to them? I said, you don't understand. But then I just, okay, let me obey him. I went. Guess what? What they said was 250,000 naira before. When I came back, they offered me 150. Now, not because I begged. Listen to what they said. They said their MD, the main MD, went on leave. Another one was acting. And the former MD didn't like preachers on radio. I don't blame him. Because you see, when you come and say, all the wishes against you, today it is the killing of them time. You will bring your koboko, say wishes die. If I'm MD, me too, I won't want you on my radio station. There was a TV station we were on that time some years ago. When we joined them, the lady in charge, the MD, called from South Africa. Called to thank me for coming, that they've watched our programs, that at least I'm teaching. They had a lot of, you know, and because they are in a business, you look like, they were not happy with many people they had. So when they saw us, when we came, and they watched a few times, this man is sitting with the word of God and teaching. They were very happy. She called to appreciate us. So this radio station, the MD now, listen to what I was saying about how the word works. The MD was, he traveled. So this other, he didn't want preachers, but now he went on leave. So the person was now acting as MD. Said to his people, now this was what they told me, I'm not imagining it. They said, these preachers have money. Let's collect money from them. So if a preacher comes, give him space. Then I walked in. Actually, the first time I went, for you to understand, when I saw what they build non-religious broadcasting and what they give to preachers, it was crazy. I told them, we are not selling anything. Why is our one so expensive? The lady, it was a lady who spoke with me. She said, Pastor, let me be honest with you. Our God doesn't want. That is to discourage you people. I said, what? He said, yeah, the man doesn't want preachers here. But you know God rules. He went on leave. And that one came and said, preachers have money. I bet let's collect their money. Then I walked in and authorized them to give a different rate. And I walked in. I said, these people have actually said, no, okay. Our God said we can take this amount. I paid them. We got on air. The other one came back. The MD that went on leave came back. I heard later from one of their people. The man was angry. Who put the preacher on? Of course, I had paid, but he was a very responsible man. He was decent. He wasn't going to do anything about it. A deal is a deal. They said the owner of that station, and you all of you know who it was. You understand what I'm saying? Let no bother mentioning the name. You know how powerful a man?
Yes.
His sister's pastor wanted to come on that radio station. The MD refused. Before we came. So, you get my point? His sister, the pastor of their church, said, okay, we want to go on this radio station. Your family owns it. That one said, no problem. They told this MD. The MD said, lie, no. And no was no. Because he was a seasoned broadcaster. Torrey, you remember who it is now? He passed on, I think, was a few years ago? Yeah. He's a seasoned broadcaster. Most Nigerians know the name. If I mention the name, they know. So you couldn't, he's the kind of person that you don't threaten him. If you threaten him, you pack his bag and leave your radio station. You are the one that's losing, not him. So the big guy left him. So when he now came back, imagine the embarrassment. So he said, that's when this was things reported to him by people around there. That the man was unhappy that the other man is embarrassing him. That Oga's sister's pastor came. I said no. Then you guys now put this pastor from nowhere. Do you know why? Because the word was working. Because the word was working. Then long after, one day I went to bab my hair. Then I had, I still bab my hair, that was long ago. I went to call the one on top, not the one below. This was not there. This was plenty. So, no, we now met. No, I was with some guys. So they just said, "Oh, Frankie, have you met so-and-so person?" I said, "No." "Oh, that's the MD of that radio station, the man who didn't want preachers." That was there I met him. They told him, "This is Pastor Banky." He said, "Wow, this is Pastor Banky." He took my hand and shook it, and thanked me for the work we're doing. That he listens. Guy that he's happy that young people are being transformed. Then he removed his shirt and showed me when they shot him around that area. And the bullet went through here. I showed where it came out behind. See, that's what happens when people don't hear the truth. He was telling me. His words. He said, "I'm sure if those young men had heard you, they wouldn't be shooting people." The same man who said he didn't want a preacher. Later on, when he moved to another radio station, he called me. Years later, he called me one day. "Pastor Bank, we need to see. Let's plan something." We ended up not doing it though. But he called me, said, please, okay, and they said, "Where can I see you?" I said, "Sir, I will come and see you." And he's a senior person. I mean, he's not my mate, He's a very senior person. So I said, "No, sir, just let me know where you will be. I will come and look for you." But, okay, and I remember what ended it was that the government that time, because it was not heading the state radio station. So the government that time, their tenure ended, the new one came. There was now a new governor on board. All right? So that one moved some things around. The man was still retained because he had a contract, but his power had been whittled down. So that's why we ended up not doing this stuff. But to tell you how I'm talking about the word working. When the word came, look at what the word was doing. God, first, it boosted faith in my heart. It went ahead, got a better deal, removed the man that would have been an obstruction, put us in, brought the man back, turned the man to a fan. Somebody say the word works.
The word works.
That's what they call the word working.
Yes,
it wasn't me manipulating things. And listen, brethren, the first day that thing went on air, I'm telling you, this is not pride. When I say it shook places. I told you about the young man who jumped into a vehicle in Osaka, ran down to Enugu to come and look for me. He got here, did not even know where he was going. He went to the radio station. And they're looking like, oh boy, you think he works here? He said, please, they should help him. Spend the whole day looking for me. The man that is still is an MD of one of our radio stations where we broadcast now. He was the man who used to introduce our show. So one day, at our program. So one day I went to the radio station. So I was talking to some people just outside. So he came out from his control room, and he had this unique voice. Of course, everybody has their own voice, but his own had, it was kind of, there's something unique about it. So I look at him. I said, oh, you must be so and so person. This kind of, yes. I said, oh, you are the one that introduced our program. And he's looking at me like, And I said, oh, I'm sorry. I am Pastor Banky. The guy fell to the ground. He went like this. Ah! He took my hand and kissed it. I'm not exaggerating. He took that hand, put his head on my hand. He didn't think. He just went to the ground. His knee went to the ground. He grabbed my hand, held the hand and kissed it. He had a pack of Benson and Hedges and a box of matches in his left hand. So, no, I'm telling you that to tell you the effect that program had. One day I went and met him. I said, please, boss, you know what? I'm thinking of something. He said, what? I said, I want to cut the program from 30 minutes to 15. They want to make it twice a week. He said, Pastor, program that we are hoping you push to 1 hour, you want to reduce it to 30 minutes. He said, people are asking us to make it 1 hour. I said, no, I want to be in people's faces like more often. He said, so why not 30 minutes twice a week? He said, is it money? I said, money. Yeah. I said, yes, money is part of it. He said, talk to our marketers. They can do something. I went and met the marketers. Okay, guys, look at the deal. See, they gave us a deal that every ear that heard it tingled. A radio station gave you this? Brethren, if you were blessed by that radio station that time, that broadcast that time, it was a word working. It wasn't me. As you've heard it now, it was not me. The word went out to work. He said, look from the book of the Lord and read. None of this shall fail, neither with any lack its mate. He said, why? Because when the mouth of the Lord speaks, his spirit goes out to gather. If that thing blessed you that time, I've given the testimony. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. It was the word that, see, I'm a servant of the word. I'm not the Lord of it. See, the way the word is working through you is what is working through me. Through you, he will do something he didn't plan for. You are going to find yourself somewhere in the next 5 years, somebody listening to me, you will look back at today. You won't be able to reconcile as the same person. You personally will have. See, you will look at yourself in the mirror and find it hard to record. Maybe just one small scar you have on your chin is what will let you know it's you. You will so change, even physically. The environment will change. When you open your mouth and talk, you too will wonder, who is speaking? You will be in places you never. Somebody will listen to this. In a few years, you'll be living in a country that you didn't even know, you hardly knew existed as of today. You don't know the kind of government they have. You don't know what people do there. You have never seen the people. See, when Sunday Adelaja tells you his story, you know he didn't plan it. He just got born again. Before he got a communist scholarship to go to, I think it was Russia at that time. Oh, yeah, it was USSR. Yeah. So all those countries were still together. All called Russia, Belarus, Uzbekistan. Okay, anyway, let me not mention the one that I'm not sure, but Georgia was still there. All right, there were plenty. The Russian republics, let me not spend time trying to remember them now. As part of their propaganda and spreading communism, they used to go give scholarship to young people all over the world. Adelaja was given one just after he gave his life to Christ. So God was preparing his own thing. Communists think they thought they were preparing their own thing. Shortly after, of course, he went to school, they taught him. I heard him talk one day. Well, there's a small issue about that one. We can discuss that later. They taught him the method for, I can say this. I mean, it's nothing, I can say it. It's one of the methods for revolution taught to him by the Russians. Let me leave the matter. But if you come after, ask me, I will explain it to you. Where am I going? The world was working. Shortly, somewhere along the line, the whole communist thing crumbled. He had been prepared by God. Within a short while, he had started a church. He had a congregation of thousands of people, all white. The first day I saw his picture, one black man in the midst of white heads. You know, if you see most of our people, you see somebody say, Nigerian pastor, he's in London, he's pastoring Nigerians and Ghanaians. You see, it's not an insult. We need pastors. Are you getting my point? Yeah, it's true now. It's Nigerians and Ghanaians. That there may be a sprinkling of South Americans, that then one white person that married one of the black people. That's it. It's not, so please, my brother, it's not an insult. I'm not insulting you. It's a fact. You know now. There are only a few. I know one or two that things are slightly different for. All right? But Sunday Adelaja was not like that. You got to his church, they were all white people. They were all Ukrainians. They were European. See, they were not Africans. It was him and his wife. I saw only them that were black in the. Now, where I'm going is that, do you know, it was not his plan. It was something that God planned. The world was working. And I'm saying to somebody, listen to me today. See, tell your neighbor, follow the Lord. Say, stop planning. Say, just tell the person, follow the Lord. Don't tell your wife, my friend. Two of you came from the same house. Tell somebody else. Two of you came from the same house, wore the same clothes, came here. And you don't want to talk to somebody else. I said, greet your neighbor. She's not your neighbor, she's your wife. The Lord is good. Honestly, see, we worry too much. See, every day I pray to the Lord, please help me not to worry. Help me to relax. Do you know, let me do some more digression. You know, health. Most of people's health is worry. Yeah, all they do, eat this one, don't eat this one, this one, jump here, sleep down, is worry. It's mostly worry. Most of it, and because I'm a professional there, I listen sometimes. The other day I saw one man talking. It's an American physician. But when he talks, you know, he's an Indian man, but he's a UK citizen. Probably grew up in UK, but now practices in America. He said something which made me laugh. You know what he said? No, you see it. He said he got a letter. He does YouTube videos. He has millions of views, all right? Very rich followership. He's a specialist. There's a statement he made that the American College of Cardiologists or American Heart Association, all right, the two of them, that they wrote him. He said, can you imagine? Said those people that are led by a bunch of lunatics. You hear what I said? An American physician, he said the leadership of the American Heart Association, they're a bunch of lunatics. Even me in Enugu, I cringe. I say, what do you say? And now I explain the reason why he said so. His own argument that they wrote him that money did not influence their decision, that most of their funding doesn't come from big corporations. He said, what do you call most? 80%. He said, if 20% out of 80% comes from big corporations, are you telling him they don't affect you? He said, bunch of lunatics. You know what he was accusing them of? That their judgment has been corrupted by corporate bribes. So how can you be donating hundreds of millions of dollars to us and you say you are not affecting how we reason? I'm not talking about what they said, and I don't want to go near there. And that person, they had their reasons. Okay, let's not go there. But these are the people you are committing your health into their hands. They are calling each other lunatics. Why he said, I won't give it like I said. They gave some recommendations for treating certain things. And he said that they are crazy. That the recommendations are influenced by the need for some people to make money. This is a man who said he hates, he's a doctor. He said he hates going to hospital in America. He said the system is corrupt. Now, I'm not trying to, of course, they are good doctors. All right? They're very, very good doctors. Many, many. I know many. That's intelligent. But then, what I'm going is that it's not human beings you commit your future, your health into their hands without asking questions. I'm talking about worry. People worry too much. Worry about everything. There was a time, and I can tell you this, better stop this nonsense. These are extremes. You know what they call calorie counting? If you are doing calorie counting, you will die fast. Sharp told you. You know me, I will tell you the way it is. I'm telling you. You do the calorie count, that's how to die quickly. One day, one lady did one video, took a picture of plantain with, what was it? Is it scrambled egg? You know, those kind of things that God gives to people that he wants to bless. You know? He said, guess how many calories is in this serving of fried plantain? And I wrote 1,004, something like that, calories. Like, just one plate. And that lady answered. He said, who asked you? We don't want to know. He said, if you know you can't fry plantain, confess. He said, what kind of jealousy is this one? He said, fried plantain that has done nobody any evil. You know what? How she ended it? Say nobody will steal my joy. Plantain. He said, do you know how many calories you find in here? The other lady said, who asked you? You say, okay, we did not know it. Say, what do you want us to fry, stone? It's the way she ended it that just struck me. Say, nobody will steal my joy. Fried plantain, my joy. The Lord is good. People worry too much. Let us see that. They worry about their future. They worry about money. And you know that thing offends the Lord. Are you offending him? Oh, God taught me many things when I was coming to Enugu. Because I was coming from Lagos, where, you know, Lagosians, God bless you if you're in Lagos, all right? I know you're watching. Can see you kind of with the eyes of my heart, all right? But Lagosians generally have one problem. They have lived there for a long time. They think that they are Nigeria. And the rest of us are attachment to Nigeria. Yeah, it's a very common attitude. You meet somebody who has never left Lagos, say, where you come from? You mention, especially if you don't mention a town he has heard before. Like, do they have network? You know, the kind of question they will ask you. Yeah, the kind of question they will ask you. You'll be looking at them like, excuse me, do you have network? He said, no, sorry, I don't mean anything. So I was just wondering. No, that's it. So I used to live in Lagos. When I had to my fellow Lagosians that was moving to Enugu, I was like, God spoke to you or you spoke to God. You know, you want to know who's speaking to who here? Whose idea was this? Of course, your children, where the money is, that's where I'm going. They say Lagos is where the money is. I told them, Lagos is also where the problems are. I said, look, other parts of the country, if you don't have a mental problem, you will not sleep on the street. No, think about it. If you see anybody in Enugu sleeping on the street, some screws are loose. Just get screwed up, put it back in order, you will find a house to stay. I said, but Lagos is where adult responsible men have nowhere to sleep. And because their heads are together, you start seeing people like, they go and wait for somebody at the airport. They're not waiting for anybody. There's nowhere to sleep. They sit at the bus stop. They are not sick. They are not mentally ill. There's nowhere to go. Now, please, I'm not trying to say bad about Lagos. I'm just saying they have good sides. They have bad sides. That's how the whole of life is. Where I'm going is that people told me, Guinea, what? I said, look, and listen to me. Problems await you where the Lord didn't send you. Questions the Lord will ask, what are you doing there? He will ask you. And please, I've been saying it again and again. You don't want the Lord to say to you, but I told you. Because the only thing God does when he wants to help is to tell you something. Many of us say, give me money. God won't give you money. Like our brother Jonathan was leading prayer this morning. Said, God said, I am your exceeding great reward. If you say, God, about my future, he will tell you, I am in charge of the future. He will say, I will be with you. That's what he's going to say. There's one song that was, I heard that time. Who sang? I think Sounds of Blackness. Said, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. That's God. That's all. He just said, this place is very dangerous. God will just say, I will be with you. After that, he will disappear. Better believe it. Walk carelessly. Live carelessly in that place where they say it's dangerous. Because God said, I will be with you. The only thing he offers is his word. Is his presence. That's all he offers. Man, let's not worry. The word works. You see, the reason why, God is having to struggle a lot of times with arranging the future of his children. If you just relax in his hands, he may not do what you are expecting the next 1 year. He may not do it the next 2 years. Maybe not even the next 5 years. Maybe not the next 10 years. But those who hopefully wait for him will never be put to shame. Never, never, never. Shame is never their portion. Shame cannot, that it is God you are waiting for. Please let me explain it again. That it is God you are waiting for. You know, David said, I've been young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed beg for bread. You know what it means? The righteous, you know we've talked about. Righteousness is how? You know, we've talked about faith this morning now. We've talked about faith. And how is righteousness? How is it? How does it come? Answer me confidently. So that means anybody taking actions, because this is word of God, this is what the word of God provoked in his life, is counted righteous. David says such a person will never be forsaken. No, David said the person will never be forsaken. Moses did not run. Moses obeyed. What did I say? Moses did not run. Moses obeyed. That movement out of Egypt was not provoked by fear or circumstances. Many times people, you know, when people make rules and laws and business principles out of scriptural experiences, many times they miss it. Like one man came one day. He said, when the brook dried, Elijah moved. that this town looked like it had dried for him. It's time to move. So the brother that he was talking to said, no. The word of the Lord came to Elijah. Elijah did not leave the brook of Cherith. Elijah did not leave that brook because it dried. The Lord dried the brook because he was going to tell Elijah to go somewhere. You think the brook was a natural brook? Many of us think it was natural. Let me tell you why you know it's not natural. Was the food natural? The food wasn't natural. Why do you think the water was natural? The Lord spoke. See, God has always brought water out from where people didn't expect it. The brook was sustained by the word of God, not by natural processes. Then a woman somewhere began to cry. No help. Had a son. And little by little, her food was going down and she was crying to the Lord. And the Lord now said, you know, the Bible says, there were many widows in Israel, but to none was Elijah sent. But that one that was in, is it Sidon? Where was she? Eh? Yes, that's in Sidon now. Yes, yes. What does that tell you? Elijah was sent to go and help her, not for his own sustenance. There were many lepers in Israel, but none of them was cleansed, but that one that was from Syria, Naaman. What does that tell you? Naaman was helped. That widow was helped. God sent Elijah to go and help that widow. That was why he dried up the brook. The brook was dried up because of the widow. Do you follow my point? So the brother came that day and said, the ground has dried. Time to move forward. The guy said, no. The word of the Lord came to Elijah. Elijah moved not because of the dryness of the brook, but because God said it is time to move somewhere else. The righteous person is the one that see every action is provoked by revelation. Again, you know, last time I told you to hug your Bible. Love that book. Oh. Read it too. Your taniku. Love it. Do you know why? Because God guides you and leads you through the book. I told you the testimony last time. I was reading. The words kind of jumped out of the page. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. You know what I heard from it? Panky, don't worry. Just go wherever I send you. Just do whatever I tell you to do. You know, let me explain. Many people who write, I was saying earlier, who write rules from the scriptures. Like the brother was going to write the rule. When it dry, move. No. What they do is that when they write those rules, they leave out the spirit. And when you have, you know, it's called the body without the breath. It's dead. You see, most books you write on business that are telling stories about the successful lives of businessmen, they are dead books. Do you know why? It's called the body without the spirit, without the breath. I wrote an article. It's we compile some of the sermons into Habit of Faith and Living by Divine Wisdom. It's in one of them. Don't be without the spirit. There's a spirit that this reading the scriptures injects into. It's not just rules and regulations. Last time I talked about cloven tongues, the word of God comes and it says different. Everybody on this row, the same word is coming, saying something to you, different from what it's saying to you. Next person, everybody's on different. You see, did you hear what pastor said? Pastor didn't see anything. What you should be saying is, if you know what I heard today, that's a different matter. Because what I see and what you hear are two different things. All this talk we are talking. You sitting down here, leaving here because of movement restriction today. You left your house very early so you can get here before the time for restriction. That's qualifying you to hear. Do you get my point? Then me coming, opening my mouth, God just has to look for one donkey. What the current donkey? What is his name? Banking? Put him there. This is a donkey. Do you get what I'm trying to say? God brought you, prepared you, checked your heart. You have a heart that wants the word. Then finds you a donkey to stand here. And I open my mouth, literally. If you notice, in fact, if you have descended, you will have noticed. We are still trying to read one scripture. We read one line. We've been here now, the last 1 hour. So, is that somebody who planned to? Do you follow my friend? Just one scripture I read, which is to say it's a powerful people are attacking me. But I don't respond to the attacks. I respond to your word. That's what he said. So as you are listening, that's the point I'm making. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you by these sound vibrations. This sound vibration is an attention grabber. Do you get my point? Once your attention is there, yes, what I'm just doing by this sound that you are hearing is connecting a wire to your spirit. So as you are looking at me, gazing at me, looking, listening, it's connection in the spirit we are making. Then when the wire has been hooked, then the Holy Spirit, which is the electricity of heaven, zaps through it and gives life to you. That is why the Bible makes it clear, those who look to him expectantly, steadily expectant with a steady and absorbing gaze, they receive healing because electricity is being discharged. You put a phone, what do? You connect it to the wall, all right? And the wire runs through the phone and you leave it there overnight. Was dead yesterday. Now today is fully charged. And once you disconnect it, it starts discharging. You're using it. And that's how life is. Every day you are being discharged. Why do you return to places like this to hear the word so that you can be recharged? It is not the sound waves. Yesterday I tested secondary school children. I said they should write an essay for me. On how sound moves from outside to the brain. It's a beautiful essay. I said, go and practice it. Write it for me. I want to hear how the ear traps it, how it's conducted down the external auditory canal to the eardrum, vibrates the ossicles, amplifies the sound to the oval window, all of that to the organ of cortex. I tell you, yeah, trace it for me. Trace it for me. I've not checked how they did. I'm a very wicked man in that area. I give you hard secondary school children. Yeah. Why? That you may hear sound. But what I'm saying is that as you are doing that physically, spiritually, a wire is also running. This time around, not from the outside to your brain, but from heaven to your spirit. From heaven to your spirit. And how I've said before, people say, you have to act on the word. I say, you act on the word? No. Brethren, please. Because sometimes people misunderstand me. I know what people are saying when they say that, all right? So, and I'm not disagreeing with them at all. We're not disagreeing. Brethren, act on the word. Act on the word. Act on the word. So, let me, I said, truth comes in levels. There was a time I preached it. I stopped preaching that long ago. You can't act on the word. How can you act on the word? The word acts on you. Did you hear what I said? And that's not fine preaching. That's fact. The preacher will just say things to just move people. Let me disturb your theology. No, I'm not here to disturb your theology. It's fact. You can't act on the word. There's only one thing you can do to the word. One of God, which is what? No. Listen, thank you. Not even agree. The only thing you can do to the word is pay attention. The rest is the word. See, if you love the word and you pay attention, listen, the word will bring belief to you. You didn't hear what I said? The word will make you believe. You see, Just believe the word, believe the word. You can't, other argument is what you have not seen. When you see, you will believe. Do you understand? Okay, you don't get it. I will kill all of you. Basically, you want to be lying. That's what happened. That's what Saul was doing. He supervised the stoning of Stephen. Abby? Then on the road to Damascus, what happened? He saw Jesus. Did you hear Jesus say, "Will you believe in me?" When you see, you will believe. And this time around, the word "see" there doesn't mean what you see physically. There's something you come to understand. You know the reality of it. Don't worry, you will believe. You will believe. You will. Do you get my point? You will believe. You will believe. How did the servant of Elisha believe? Elisha just prayed, "Lord, open his eyes." The boy saw. The young man saw. He too was not telling the soldier, "So yeah, come here now. Come here." He didn't have to say, "Hey, believe, oh, believe God will protect you." Which kind of believe God will protect you? Let them confess. Okay, I don't believe. Let them confess. You know, do you understand my point? Yeah, he was taunting them. He was very confident. Yes. What is it? We will preach. There's nothing you can do. It's what he has seen. The Yoruba man has a proverb. Very powerful. They said, you go and meet, let me tell you the story about this proverb. You go and meet an elder, a man. He said, "Please, come on. Will you want to serve him food?" He said, no, I don't want swallow. No, just small soup and one small piece of fish. That would be okay. And water. The Yoruba man has a say. They said, the man knows what he has eaten. Did you catch that? That when you meet an old man and he says, "No, that small one will be okay." He said he knows what he has eaten. But the one that has not eaten, add another wrap. Add meat. You have meat? You put everything. He said, but when an old man tells you, "Don't worry, that small one is okay." He said he knows what, literally said he knows what he has used to line the stomach before starting, "This small thing will be okay." Do you get what I'm saying? When Elisha is sleeping, when soldiers are gathering, he knows what he has eaten. When Jesus is on the boat, and the boat is rocking up and down, and he slept, he knows what he has eaten. He knows what he has seen. Those disciples were shouting, "Let's not go there." He said, "A prophet cannot perish outside Jerusalem." See, it was so clear to him that this prophet will not die outside Jerusalem. So if 1 million of you gathered on Mount Jericho or wherever to try and kill Jesus Christ, he will be looking at you that, "Do you want to die?" Because God will wrath. Let me tell you something about God. Let me just tell you. He's very, very purposeful. He's very fixed in his purpose. He's not emotional. He can kill a million people to save one. That's where I'm going. He can kill 1 million to save one. See, if he has a purpose, "My purpose is save that one," the only way you will survive is get out of the way. Because if he tells the angels, "Save that man," they know what it means. His word doesn't return to him void. If you decide to be an obstacle, they kill you. If you are a mountain, they level you. If you are a forest, they cut you down, burn you. They said, the Lord says, "Save that man." Everyone who was in the bondage, if they have to kill, they will. So when Elisha was lying down, JJ, and the servant was panicking, he said, "What's all this panic about?" See, this so-called, is because you have not seen. That's why I pray to the Lord all the time. I say, "Father God, help me to see. Help me to see from above. If you see, brother, you will believe. If you see, my sister, you will believe." When I say see now, of course, it's not to open the door and be looking at physical things. I'm talking about spiritual sight. And when God doesn't want people to believe, he closes their eyes. He blinds them. He said, "Deaden the ears of these people. Say to them, hear and don't understand. See and don't perceive." Once that is done, he said, they can never believe. What am I saying? You are not the one acting on the word. The word is the one acting on you. Your job is what? Pay attention. Your job is to pay attention. Your job is to pay attention. Your job is to pay attention. If you pay attention, The word will enter. Listen to me. First thing that the word will bring to you is what? Faith. Faith comes how? By hearing. Once you pay attention, faith will enter your heart. Once faith enters your heart, divine ability is kindled. It's not something you struggle over. Divine ability just comes into you. I pray we understand. See, if the Lord says come, and that word keeps you focus on come, 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 you will find yourself on top of water. You will continue to walk on water. What the world does is to distract you from focus. Cut the wire. The phone will not charge anymore. That's what the world does. All the distractions. See, newspaper. Every day, they are there. Not knowing. See, everybody's being used. Are you getting my point? Everybody's being used to. Who's using you? That's the problem. There are people, they are messengers of unbelief. Messenger. Oh, God. I told you, there are people, I know, once they forward something, I don't read. Especially if it's a video about the country. I don't listen. You don't understand? My curiosity is not that powerful. Why? I know the only thing they forward. If they forward anything, there's a particular guy I know, if he forwards 100 things about Nigeria or by anybody, 99, okay, let me just give him some space. 95 will be negative. He will show you what the state governor is doing wrong, what the president is doing very badly, what the parties are doing foolishly. Yeah, that's what he's going to show you. How a crazy man is treating his wife, how disobedient, hell-bound children are treating their parents. Hardly does it forward to you something to encourage you in this life. So, I don't talk anymore. Initially, I used to quarrel with him. But after a while, I said, why talk? I realized that adults know they hear. People make up their mind who they want to be in this life. So once he falls, you know what I do? Click, hold, highlight, hold. If there are five, highlight, 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 highlight. Boom, delete. Why do I delete? Lest I be tempted in the moments of boredom to be watching videos that are not edifying. You know when you are bored and you have the smart device in your hand, you just be clicking on anything, especially when you have free internet. Doesn't happen to you. It happens to me. You are very spiritual. Your husband is very spiritual. You don't do such things. You do. You do bad things like that too. It happens to me. Out of boredom. In fact, there was a time I had to ban myself. Right now, I've been on a 1 month ban from watching YouTube shorts. 1 month ban. That's why I don't do Instagram. Zero. You won't find me never on Instagram. No. TikTok is for children, so I don't even play there. I know they market, I know they do it, but you don't find me there. These are places where, because once you know what they call brain rot. Ask the young people, all these teenagers, and the people who are early 20s, they know what they call brain rot. Just sit down there, 3 hours will pass, all you have been doing like this. Just be doing like this. And your destiny is going away like that. Just, 3 hours of your life is being wasted. I mean, you see, if you don't see me on places like Instagram and TikTok, it's not because I'm an old man. It's because I said that I won't waste my... Because I know when you are idle. Yes, I don't do it. So people like that, my guy, I quickly delete everything they post. So that in moments of idleness, I won't go and sit down and be clicking on them. There are people who are messengers of hell. He's one. He doesn't know. And he goes to church. They are messengers of hell. They are messengers of heaven. They are called angels. They are the ones that when they hear a testimony, they quickly share it. When the scripture talks to them, they post it. They see an edifying, you know, story. They forward it to you. Everything they share with you are things that will edify you, lift you, build up your faith. Back to what I was saying. Because as you are hearing, something is working on you. If you constantly hear the word, do you get my point? It transmits faith. I said to you, you are not the one acting on the word. The word is what? Acting. It's what you focus on that
acts on you.
So I tell you, pastors, there's no need. I understand what, when you say, act on the word. That thing you have heard, all right? Practice it. No. Tell them something else. That thing you have heard, hear it again. That thing you have heard, hear it again. Anytime you board a flight, they have this routine that I find very, very strange. We have some safety measures on this flight that I want to intimate you with. And they know that you've heard it 50 times before. On every flight, most people on that flight have been on 10 flights, 20 flights. But you know what? They never stop saying it. Once they start, I can play it along with them. This aircraft is equipped with 3 emergency exits. It's now being pointed out to you by the cabin crew. And you see the guys doing like this. In case of a sudden loss of cabin pressure, an oxygen mask like this, then she'll do it like this. I can't tell everything they say. Put it over here, yeah? Pull down on it. The pulling activates the flow of oxygen. The note, the bag does not inflate. You do, put it over here. Help yourself before you help somebody else. They go over it again and again and again. You know why? You think you're not listening. You think you're not hearing. They've become boring to you. Did you notice how I'm repeating everything now? And I never took notes. Did you know I never took notes? I didn't bring out my tab to please tap in, tap in, tap in, tap in, tap in, tap in. No. But they've said it so many times in my hearing. God forbid there should be an emergency. Your body will follow that thing without thinking. You won't know when you pull on the oxygen this thing. You won't know when you strap it on. You won't know when your hand will go under the seat to bring out what do you call it? Your, not, guys say parachute. You be careful yourself. If they give you parachute, where do you want to fly to? You want to jump at 20,000 feet? You will find yourself in Oklahoma, I'm telling you. Your life jacket, you wanted to say, say parachute. Your life jacket. Now, you won't know when you bring out all those things. You will not know. Why? You've heard it so many times, it has entered into your heart. Then the word starts acting on you. The word acts on people. It's not people that act on the word. What you do with the word is pay attention to it. Like I said, you take your scriptures, you hug it once in a while. Put around yourself, scripture, I just love you. That's the scripture. You entwine yourself with the scripture. The day you need to make decisions, it will make it for you. You don't have to make it. The word will make the decisions. It's not you. It's not you. It's the word that acts. He said, the Spirit entered into me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet. That is the law of God. That principle in Ezekiel chapter 2. The Spirit entered into me. Let's just read it, just for the sake of reading. I know we all know it by heart. Ezekiel chapter 2, quickly. Please, we'll go back to Psalm. What's the name of our Psalm? What's the number? 119161. Yes. Let us, for the sake of reading, go back to that Ezekiel chapter 2 again. Then he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet that I may speak with you. Yeah, I just read verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 2, that's verse 1. Now I'm going to verse 2 now. As he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. When you pay attention like you are paying attention this morning, the electricity of heaven, the Spirit of God is entering into you and is causing you to take the appropriate actions in keeping with obedience. Let me say it again. Obedience is a sign that you paid attention. What did I say?
Obedience is a sign that you paid attention.
Obedience is a sign that the attention was enough. If you are not obeying, you are inattentive. If you find yourself disobeying the word, go and listen some more. See, the amount of attention that you pay to the word is what decides the degree of obedience that's in your life. Oh, I pray we understand this, how these spiritual dynamics work. It's not like you get up in the morning to do what is right. You go and listen to what is right. And you keep paying attention to what is right. And the more you pay attention to what is right, the more the word is entering you. The day you need to stand on your feet, you will find yourself on your feet. You didn't try to stand. Did you hear what I said? You will find yourself on your feet. Why? It will manifest the fact that you paid attention to the word. Please, let me just beg you again. That's what I say. See, you know, precious. You know, one day, you and Mrs. Dam, Chizuru, I was preaching. I said something people did not like. And two of you squeezed your face. And I warned the two of you that day. If you squeeze your face again when I'm preaching. Now, they thought they were joking. You see where I'm going? Don't even jokingly hinder the flow of the word. You know what happens? And let's talk about strongholds. Strongholds, the job of strongholds is to prevent the word from entering. For the spirit, yes. That's the job of strongholds. Is that explaining away the motive of the preacher? Is that explaining away the context in which Paul spoke? I heard somebody say, Bible conference, meeting, they said that if Paul had lived today, he wouldn't write what he wrote in Romans chapter 1. Men lusting after men, and women departing from the natural use of their, you know, those kind of things. It says because of the time Paul wrote. Now, once you say that, there is nothing Paul is writing. See, the wires will shunt.
Yes, sir.
The contacts will be loose. God will speak and speak and speak and speak. It won't get to you. Of course, God is not just speaking words. Is commanding things, is delivering power, is releasing power, is commanding obedience, is commanding blessing. He's doing okay. It won't get to you. That's it. A lot of people, their fears don't let, because you see, you know, truth, I've said before, truth has consequences. That is, if you obey something, you must take certain actions. A lot of people argue with you. You tell them 2 plus 2, they tell you 6. You know, you've been there for the last 6 hours arguing with one person on why 2 plus is equal to 4. Let me tell you today, don't bother. You know why? He's afraid of 6. He's afraid of 4. It's not like he doesn't have sense. He said 2 plus 2 is equal to what? 4. If he's afraid that if it is 4, I'm dead. If it is 4, I have to pay money. If it is 4, I will lose my job. If it is 4, you know, everything has a consequence. So you argue with the person, he keeps on insisting that it is 5.5, 7.2. 2 plus 2 to him, it can't be 4 because the consequence of 4 in his life is hard. A lot of people who are rationalizing away that Paul did not mean what is that if he was preaching today, he wouldn't tell us that homosexuality is wrong. You know the reason why? The spirit has a grip on their soul. So they feel that if they accept what you are saying, this is the trouble they will go through. Do you get my point? Look at the issue of marriage. When Jesus was teaching about marriage, the argument Peter and Co. had, that if it is supposed to be like this, then it is better not to marry. The reason being that the divorce thing was an escape from trouble. It was an escape from headaches. So anybody who agrees with you has signed up for a lot of trouble if it were to come. So that's what the argument is about. They argue and argue, not because the scriptures are not clear, but the thing has implication for them. But this is the mistake they make. They don't know that God, when he speaks, he empowers. Do you get my point? Like the man who has this homosexual feeling and is very strong. Then they are reading the scripture. It takes his eye away from that area. That it's an abomination for a man to lust after another man. He jumps it. He reads the Bible, but never reads Romans chapter 1. He goes to chapter 2 for the ease of his soul. When we were on campus those days, there was a particular world-renowned musician, just as we were leaving school. He released a particular song. The song, if I play it for you till today, it will move you. The anchor holds. Though the ship be battered. I'm not sure of the words. Powerful. When the guy is singing, we will be worshiping. Keseto. Then he came out one day. He said he has been hiding. He was a gay man in closet. So he did. Grown up children, he divorced his wife and married another man. And became, I think he became a wife to a man. And he now formed a church that affirms homosexual identity. Affirming churches. Let me tell you what affirming churches are. They are people who have agreed to deny the power of God to help them. Strongholds, what they do is to slice you away from the power of God. My pastor those days told a story. Interesting story, very funny, eh? I don't know whether he's the one or somebody. Let me not mention who said it, but he used to smoke heavily. And he couldn't stop smoking. He had given his life to Christ, was a believer, was going to church, filled with the Spirit, but was smoking. Now, should a Christian smoke? No. I think smoking is bad for you. All right? Smoking is bad for you. Let's just summarize it. So he needed to smoke. So you know what he did? He kept on smoking. I kept on telling himself that this smoking is bad. It's against the will of God. Me, I'm not a smoker. And he was smoking. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. New creation in Christ Jesus. And then we pick a cigarette sometimes and light it and smoke it. But he kept on telling himself, this is wrong. This is not in keeping with the righteousness of God that I am. The life of God is working in me. Until he discovered that he had not smoked for days and never smoked again. Now, let me tell you the key in that story. Even though that was not what was preached, but that's what I heard in it. That the guy refused to change his mind. What do I mean? Some other people, because they are smoking, they start defending cigarette smoking. And that's why the power of God leaves them behind. This one, he acknowledged his iniquity. Each time he smoked. Now, of course, just to get it clear, smoking is not the same thing as adultery. Let's tell ourselves the truth. It's not the same thing as murder. Smoking is stupidity. It's poisoning yourself. It's like crossing the road without looking. You want to cross the road? And you cross the road without looking. Is it a sin? Now you now don't know how to answer me. But you know that's how to die for the Lord. When I say the Lord, you want to kill yourself. You that God has work to do. It is that category where smoking belongs. Please. It is not, because I need to clarify that, because sometimes Christians wonder, because this man used to smoke. Spurgeon, thank you for the correction. Spurgeon used to smoke. Charles Spurgeon, yeah. Say Spurgeon, yeah. He used to smoke. He said, hey, he went to heaven, but he had gout. He had kidney stones, if I remember well. Oh, yes, yes. So you can't go around be polluting this body and be defending nonsense to me. Just because I say it's not the same thing as denying the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, it is not the same thing as denying the Lord Jesus Christ. But I will... See, you know coffee? Coffee. Coffee is not bad. I drank coffee yesterday. Because I didn't sleep well the night before. And at 11 o'clock at night, I still was not sleeping. I was lying down on the bed there with my wife and watching and playing old music. I stumbled into one gospel music, Imperials, that we used to play on campus. My eye was open. I drank it in the morning around 10. You know why? I'm not a regular drinker. So anytime I take it like that, even my paws will open, the toes will stand up, the hood. Where I'm going is that, do you know, I refuse to drink coffee regularly. On the average, I probably drink it like once in 2 weeks. or once in a month. Why? I find it to be addictive habit forming. This effect it had on me, if I drink it every day for a month, it stops having that effect. And I need to stay awake. It's the reason why I refuse. Some people do, I don't know if people drink it. Me, it's deliberate. All right? Where I'm going is that even something as simple as coffee, I refuse for it to form a habit for me. So I'm just trying to say that, look, so it's not in the same category as lying and adultery, and of course not denying the Lord. But it's still bad. It's still bad. And because it is bad, you shouldn't participate in it. You are destroying the body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. You should take good care of this body for goodness sake. Do you understand my point? Now, so having established that, let's get back to the part of the story I was telling. The part of the story I was telling is the fact that this man refused to change his mind. Many people now start defending it. You can still smoke and go to heaven. I kill somebody. Why are you looking as if it's not cigarette? You know, once you start defending the bad habit, that's where I'm going. The spirit to overcome it will leave you. Once you start defending a bad habit, the spirit to overcome it will leave you. I say one more time. Once you start, even if you are not, listen, let me just tell you something. Don't defend bad things lest they come upon your children. You are not homosexual. Just looking at your wife, I know. Looking at your children, I'm convinced. Did you get my point?
Yes, sir.
So you kind of have escaped from that spirit. You're not a small boy in that sense anymore. But you have children growing up. Don't defend it for their sake. Because when you defend a bad thing, you've opened the door in your house. The spirit enters and wait. I can't touch you, but you have accepted it. You have, because you can't touch the adult. He's too grown. I mean, even if the spirit wants to convert you, you will convert the spirit, you know?
Yeah.
You go and meet a 40-year-old man that's been married for the last 15 years, has 3-4 children. You now want to possess with the spirit of homosexuality. Oh, but before you know, you homosexual spirit, you will be heterosexual. When he casts you out, you've lost your identity. And you're an evil spirit too. And you've lost your identity. And the spirit knows. So what does he do? He won't attack people like you. But because you accepted it. See, go and read your story, your Bible well. One of the things that saved Lot was that despite the fact that he was living in Sodom and Gomorrah, he never accepted the things going on there as normal. It's in your scriptures. His soul was tormented every day. If he had to pray, he prayed against it. That helped him. So if you see what's evil in the society and you can't do anything about it, just don't agree with it. Strongholds, they cut off the flow of God's power. That's the point I'm making. God wants... Okay, that man that I was telling you about, the anchor holds man, what he needed to do was to dip inside... No, see, the feeling is not the issue. We don't take actions in our lives by feeling. We take them by faith. That is, we allow the word... do the conclusion for us. So what he needed to do was to, I don't care how long this feeling lasted in him, keep on saying, this is an abomination before the Lord. For this cause, the judgment of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. Read it and be having your feelings. You know what will happen? Little by little, because those things are spirits. The spirit is getting uncomfortable in your life. It's getting uncomfortable in your body. It's getting uncomfortable in your home. Then you will go and go to another home where everybody is defending the battle. Sometimes, now what I want to say doesn't sound nice, but occasionally it happens. The man may struggle his whole life. But he will never act on his feelings. And his children will never have that problem. There are people, see, your struggle is for the next generation. See, let me tell you, a lot of people are making stupid decisions because of money. They are donating their children to poverty. They will make the money. But the children will start again. You know, what God wanted was you. Struggle. Yes, you see, everybody exists for a reason. Everybody must contribute something to the spiritual atmosphere for the church of the earth. Both in the church and in the earth. You must deposit something spiritual. You must. I don't want to be Job. That suffering, even though it lasted just about a year, is intense. But God called Job. You are going to pass through this. You will leave behind the spirit of devotion. You will leave behind a spirit of dedication. You will leave behind a spirit of the matter. Because of Job, millions have passed through life and they've held on to God no matter what came upon them. God said, Job, you leave that behind. There are those that people will say, God will say, listen, you break the spirit of poverty in the lineage. And listen, poverty is not lack of money. Poverty is lack of sense. I know what I'm telling you. Lack of good values. In fact, I think one of the key things about poverty is lack of good values. There's something I've seen very pervasive around us now these days. People who go to work and go there to beg. Yeah, don't you go to the airport? Everywhere. Yeah, even security. No, please, if you're a child of God, never do that. It's a poverty spirit. You can get money, you're going to remain poor. It's a poverty spirit. The giving spirit is the one that is prosperous. Comes to a job for what he can give. Now, listen. Values mean nothing until when in keeping them you are in distress. You can't say you have a particular value as a virtue until you have been hard tempted to do otherwise. I don't steal means nothing if you have never been broke. It's called the trial of the value, the trial of your faith. Where I'm going is that when you go through life sometimes, all right, I'm talking about poverty. A man is born, raised up, forced into poverty or raised up in what they call poverty, and God says, I will deliver this household. So he takes one of them. Now, what people don't know is that it's not money God wants to give him. God wants to give him values. God wants to give him a different character. God wants to give him a spirit of true prosperity. So start teaching the individual, you cannot steal. You can't tell lies. When you work, the first thing your mind must be giving. I want to be a giver. You go to a church, yes, you don't have money, but go there, go and give something. Say, but Lord, I don't have any money. God said, go and give something. Say, and God doesn't say more than that. Just say, go and give something. You are the one saying, I don't have money, I don't have money. It's an excuse. But God's Holy Spirit just help you. You have hands, don't you? Then dawned of you knew that you actually have hands. So you go to church early and you clean the whole place. It's an attitude. In your mind, I have to put something there. It's not for recognition. You start giving. You start being productive. God just, because you see, the average person around, especially this our continent, they have an entitlement mentality. It's very common. Government knows I've not eaten this morning and did not send food. Now when he's saying, he's not joking. He actually grew up with the idea that if there's no food, government should provide it. They start learning things like JFK said, don't ask what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Then God teaches him that. That's how Jesus handles poor people. He said the gospel is preached to the poor. He can work miracles for other people, but the poor, it has to be gospel. It has to be teaching. It has to be instruction. Then somebody can actually take that thing. And most of his life, God is just shaping. Because you see, those values in his life, we have no spiritual value, spiritual currency, spiritual power, except they are tested. So he can go through life having a lot of issues. He'll get married, have kids. By faith, he'll be going on little by little by. It may be when the last child finally maybe gets to secondary school, suddenly he seems to be getting far better finish secondary school, getting far better financially. This has been years. But he has maintained that spiritual value. Do you know the reason why? Those kids that he's having will not know the meaning of poverty. They won't know the meaning. But if that man had used those children as an excuse to steal, government office, fire will not move unless you drop something. Works in tax office, he collect 2 naira for government, 1 naira for himself. God said there's no problem. He'll be rich. Oh. He will break out of that poverty early. The Bible says, but this you have of the hand of the Lord, you will lie down in torment. The last days of his life, he will have money, but he will hate money. He will be broke. Then the children, one or two of them will smoke something. Then what will happen to him, to them? Then they start again. One of them has to break it again. The father didn't break it for them. In this life, you are depositing something. That's what I keep telling people. Sometimes, see, let me tell you, you will. Do you know Stephen was stoned to death? Fact that you may have the New Testament that you have in your hands. Joseph is looking at me. Like, Oga, he didn't write the New Testament. I know. Paul didn't wrote most of it. Except a grain of wheat dies, he abides alone. Stephen had to die so that he wouldn't abide without Paul. He was not abide alone. See, spiritual things are like that. There are times you have to feel. No, God said, I will send them prophets for certain reasons. You have to fill a cup. Paul, the salvation of that man, Saul and Paul, of the same person, a lot was hinged on the prayer that Stephen prayed for him. A lot was hinged on the prayer that Stephen prayed for him. And now you are reading the book of Romans. You didn't thank Stephen. You are reading 1 Corinthians. You didn't thank Stephen. You are reading 2 Corinthians. You are reading Ephesians. You are reading Colossians. You are reading Galatians. You are reading Thessalonians. You are reading all the letters to Timothy and Titus. And you are even reading the book of Hebrews. You didn't thank Stephen. Because you didn't realize it mattered. The point I'm making is that your own life too must matter. There's something you are depositing for your... See, Isaac did not give money to Jacob. What he gave him was a spiritual substance. He said, I'll sustain him with grain and with new wine. The question of how are you sustaining the next generation? People who... First, your natural children. Who you are training in the faith. That's the main job they are doing in your house. Some people, they will be serving God so that God can bless their children. But they don't train those children in faith. So this country will serve God. But please, you go and hide in that one where there's peace. Then if you like anything you like, serve there. I was talking about strongholds before I got carried away with this thing. Strongholds. What is a stronghold? Why is that pastor driving a limousine? So when he's preaching, I don't listen to pastors like that. His car. Is the reason why you don't listen to him. His car. Is the reason you don't listen to him. Then you shut off whatever he's going to say to you. That day I was thinking, okay, pressure, what I was saying that day. I was saying something. And please, women, you may be laughing. I mean when I say something, so. I say, what you need in life? It's not romance. I'm looking at your face. I know you have learned. Fear alone has taught precious fear. When I say such things, just say amen. Doesn't mean you won't get it. I'm telling you, there is a substance God wants to give you that's deeper than that. Just say amen to it. After all, the Bible says in that Proverbs 31, charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. The woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Now, 3 levels there. Fear of God is spiritual. That's the spirit level. 2, charm is good character. People don't know that. When they say charm is deceitful, people think that charm is physical. No. Charm literally is good character. As you come, she don't kneel down, put one leg down. Good morning, sir. That's what they call charm. Let me water your camels, Rebecca. That's what they call charm. You know what the Bible says? It is deceitful. If a Canaanite woman had offered it to the servant of Eliezer, he was not supposed to take it. It had to be people who understood some things. The spiritual must be first. And as a beauty is what? Vain. That's the third level. So let's not even talk about that. What she looks like, you can buy it in the market. Yes, it's cloth, it's makeup. All of us are fine. Yeah, what are you saying? He said, don't even go there. He said, no. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's vain, it's zero. The thing that most people worry about in this life is what they call charm. That is what we check in homes. A good girl, good character. That's what the Bible calls charm. But you know what he said? It's deceitful. What do you want? Let me put it this way. The spiritual substance. That's why I'm using that one as an illustration. It is the spiritual substance you want. So if I said to a young man now, who's getting married, all right? Okay, you. Stay for your wife. You know, like I'm talking to her and your wife. Your wife is nursing baby on the other side. I understand. So, but assuming she's the one I'm talking to. Because they were two, they were squeezing face for me that time. So I caught them today. I will avenge myself of my adversaries today. Now, if a young man wanted to marry, and I said to him, you know, it's not this good character, this niceness that you need. Will you think I said something wrong? No. After I've taught you so much now. After you understood the word of God. Will you say no? Will you say I said something wrong? What will you say I'm trying to say? That the most important is what? The fear of God. So you say, hey, Brother John, you know, this is not what we need in this life. Oh. I know the girl is very good family. She doesn't talk. She's very quiet. She's very homely. You will say to me, you will say to him, oh boy, is she born again? Which church does she attend? Who is her pastor? See the question you're asking?
Yes.
But you know what the Bible says? If really you find someone that's truly born again, attends a good church on the word, but got born again just 6 months ago, this girl can quarrel. Very disrespectful. But once you mention the word of God, she trembles. Who you recommend this guy marries? The second one. So when I say to you women, that is not romance you need. Why do you want me to preach this one to men? I won't preach this one to you people. Eh? You see what I'm saying? What I'm saying is strongholds. Get rid of it. Don't let anything block it. There's something I used to tell my wife, all right, those days. You know, she used to say like a joke, just like a joke. The comments she would just pass about my, you know, my husband is a dry person. So one day I called her, she had. Know that I know it's a joke. I said, stop saying it. She said, eh. I said, stop saying it. I said, you see, I'm the prophet in this house. If you continue telling yourself that, the day I issue forth a word of prophecy that's going to deny you some fun in life, you will say what? He's dry. It is because he's dry. So the power to flow, the power of God to make you do that which he actually proposed from the beginning, you will deny it. So she said, thank you. This life, you have to fight strongholds. You have to. They come different ways. I've had people tell me that, this American preacher, I don't even like the way they talk. Meanwhile, I can only change my life. Somebody's telling me that I don't like the way American preachers talk. Meanwhile, Kenny Higgins is changing lives. Those days when we go home, I play Kenny Higgins, my mother will come and say, Frankie, are you telling me you can hear what these people are saying? And I'm looking like, I can hear everything he's saying. The man will say something, I was saying over there, and everything, but what are you looking like? Is he speaking English? Look for me, he's speaking English. But you know, because we heard him, you know, we're so used to it, we didn't know that things are really hard to hear. The Texan draw, you know, the trace is very hard. One of my friends, one day, I said, you should listen to the issues you wanted to deal with. I said, okay, listen to Kenny Higgins, what them say, please. See, that is Texan accent, that my husband can't stand it. Yeah, because they lived in a part of Texas. And that the hypocrisy among the white Christians is stuck in his head. They are white, they are Christians, but they are very racist. They look down everybody else. So, and they preach in church with that accent. So he said, my husband can't stand it. That the problem he has with that man is his accent. And she explained the reason to me. I understood. However, I don't understand. Did you hear what I said?
Yes,
I understood, but please, you don't understand. That's why I told the story again and again about the man who insults Africans, and I'll still listen to him. What's his name? William Seymour. Azusa Street Revival. Azusa Street. William Seymour. He will go to church to hear about the Holy Spirit. They won't let him in because he's black. Do you know what he did? He sat outside. But he refused to go. I won't leave you until you bless me. There's a woman in the Bible like that. Jesus said, come. Is it right to give the children's bread to dogs? If Jesus said that when there's Twitter. You said that when there's Instagram. Facebook. Dog. Hashtag Jesus called the woman dog. Racism. Tribalism. Nationalism. Internationalism. All kinds of names. Because he say it's not right to give a... He didn't even call the woman dog. He just said, can I give the children's bread to Bingo? But it's not him. It's that woman. She didn't take offense. She didn't take offense. She said, Master, let's talk about the dog thing. Do they get to eat? Master said, yes. How did they get to eat? He said, crumbs that fall from the master's table. That's why I came here to collect. What did Jesus say? Great is your faith. Most people, great is your offense. Is it because you are the Lord? There's nobody else to help somebody. That's why you have business like this. It's not your fault now. Don't help us. Let my daughter die. I will burn another one. Nonsense. Great is thy offense. That's what will happen. I said, Elder John, he and I were talking. That in their church, a pastor came to church. Okay, you know, that's the story I was telling at Father's Delight Church last Sunday. That a man came to church, pastor mounted the pulpit and began to preach. Nobody told him anything. But it happened so much. So much. Your wife was telling me after that Sunday, when we finished preaching, when I was preaching, that I was giving an illustration, and that illustration was just describing one woman. I said, you live in this kind of... And it was an illustration. I said, just imagine now. I described where she walked, the kind of house she lived in, how many children she had, what God is doing, and what she's about to do, that she missed the will of God. She started looking around. I hope she's hearing. If she was listening, she would have thought that somebody came to tell me. That's what happened to this man. He went to church and they described his life. And the man came and said they went to report him to pastor. And they left the church and never came back. Sin unto death. What did I call it? It's sin unto death. Because the word of God brought correction. Offenses is a stronghold. And what is it doing? It's blocking the flow of power. That's what I'm emphasizing. It's just blocking the flow of power. It's blocking the flow of what? Power. Don't let it block flow of power in your life. Do like that woman. They called me a dog. Should be dogs eat from the master's table. I will stay there. As long as I get healed. As long as my daughter gets healed. What am I taking offense for? No, I won't take offense. I won't take offense. Brethren, this word of God, it wants to act on somebody. It wants to shape your life, shape your destiny. It's not you that will plan your life. The word is busy. The word is alive. The word is busy. The word is alive. The word is busy. You know what I mean? When I say alive, this day we have AI. You know, AI can do things and that will shock you. Sometimes I ask AI questions, the way it will answer. I say, are you sure you are really artificial? There must be a human being behind that place. But in case you don't know what we call AI, is millions of brains put together, arranging a code So when you're asking the AI, a million man hours is answering you in 1 second. The reason is in a code. It has browsed the internet and arranged the figures, the information. And that's what human beings achieved. When you say the world is alive, the world is alive with divine intelligence. The world is alive with divine intelligence. AI can never tell you that which he hasn't seen before. It can only deduce from what that which has been seen. Divine intelligence calls those things that be not as though they were. So when the word is working, it will create for you. So those who say, what about your children? I said, my children. I said, if God has to get Harvard to open an Enugu campus, if he wants them to go to Harvard, he will do it. And please, that's not supposed to be big faith. That's some common sense. If God says your children shall go to Harvard, it doesn't mean you shall go to America. You didn't hear what I said? God is very interesting. He will tell you, go to Abakaliki and stay there. Then another prophet will say, thus is the Lord, your children will have attend Yale University. So some will say, get up and leave. The man didn't say, get up and leave. The word of the Lord said, go to Abakaliki. You stayed there. What you did not notice is that once the word goes out, you remember, when the mouth of the Lord speaks, his spirit goes out to gather. His spirit will go to Yale and tell the president of Yale, you guys don't have branches in Africa, do you? That's an emerging market. They say, it's true. Idea will come, let's open African branch. Somebody will say, where do we say? Let's carry it to one place you mentioned. Okay, let's say Nigeria. Say, capital city, Abuja. Then one day a man will come to your office and he'll be talking. Be one rich man from Nigeria who wants to donate money to Yale, he's talking. And I said, I'm thinking of opening African campuses. And the man will just say, hey, come on. How much land do you need? I have access to like 2,000 hectares. I can give you guys 50 hectares to be okay. Wouldn't it be okay? Yeah. No, take 50 hectares. You don't. I'll arrange the papers. You don't have to pay anything. The man will happen to be from Abakaliki. Do you get my point? The year your wife gives birth to the first child, they will acquire the land. They start building. The day they finish secondary school, they take their first intake of students. And the word of the Lord will be fulfilled in a strange place. At the end of the day, they say, for graduation, you guys have to do 6 months in their headquarters school. You do 6 months there, come back, do graduation anywhere in the world. You will have stayed in Abakaliki and you've gotten the certificate from here. God said, did I not say so? Did I not tell you? Somebody said the word works. I just use Yale as an example. You can be anything without any certificate. Oh, yes. Yeah, that's the point. You can be anything God wants you to be. You don't need a certificate. Please, the last thing I've said is what? Fight what? Offenses. Strongholds. Things that will prevent the word from working. Things that will prevent the flow of the power. Because these words we are speaking is electric wires we are connecting. Don't let any corrosion of the connection deny you of your power. What did I say? Don't let any corrosion of the connection deny you the flow of power into your life. Let's read this scripture. You know, we started by reading one scripture. And Dami and Joseph did not let me finish reading it. The Lord is good. Let's just finish reading it. We began to read it. Psalm 119. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. We say, what does that mean? It means that circumstances may try to harass us. New Living Translation says, powerful people harass me without cause. But my heart trembles only at your word. Circumstances don't tell me what to do. Only the word of God tells me what to do. He now said, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great spoil. I hate and despise falsehood, but I love your law. In this life, there must be things you hate. And there must be things you love. And primary among the things you love is what? The word of God. He said, 7 times a day I praise you because of your righteous ordinances. Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. Even the harassment of powerful people that we saw in that verse 161. I hope or wait for your salvation, O Lord. And meanwhile, what do? I do your commandments. While waiting for the salvation of the Lord, be busy obeying his instructions. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Now, those are the 8 verses I want us to read. Again, because we have exhausted our time for today, we'll continue this another time. What I wanted to explain, again, is something we know. Who the hearing, the Bible says faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the word of God. So I say there's a way to read it. Add the hearing together. It's found in other scriptures. Once God emphasizes something like that, there's something very important about it. Once he doubles it. So Jesus will say, verily, verily, I say unto you. Take it seriously. It's a solemn declaration. All right? James said, be doers of the word, not hearers only. And I explained, doer is something you become. Do you understand? He wasn't saying, go and be acting on the word. No. Am I a doer or am I a hearer only? You understand? Or mere hearer. What is a mere hearer? It is he that has an ear, but does not hear. Now, listen, it's very important. If you have an ear, what did Jesus say? He that has an ear, let him hear. You know, there's something that if you listen to it carefully, it means that when you hear something, because for you to have heard that instruction, you have ears. So it's not giving you an instruction. Go and sit down and hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And listen, they were supposed to read that letter. How many churches were there? 7 churches. What are their names? The church in Ephesus, Smyrna, Sardis, Philadelphia, Thyatira, Pergamum, and Laodicea. All right? Is that 6 or 7? We counted now. 7, yeah. He said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to his church. True or false? Ah. Who said true there? He said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit what? Says to the churches, all the churches. You are not an Anglican, no. Anglican has split in 2 now. Go and listen to what the Spirit is saying. Okay, let's take the scripture. You are not from the church in Thyatira. You are from Ephesus. The only problem you have is the first love. Go and listen to what he said to the church in Thyatira. Are they not the ones that had Jezebel hanging around? No, there's a church that had Jezebel as their chief prophetess. You are not from the church in Pergamum. You are just from the church in Sardis. Go and check what he said to the church in Pergamum. Now, there's a principle you will notice here. That person is not just trying to get by. A lot of Christians are just trying to get by. What is sin? What is not sin? Those are not questions I like to answer people. Yeah, because they want to just categorize life. I did this one, I did not do this one. But there's an attitude that's just trying to be like the Lord. Therefore, anytime God speaks, they want to hear. That's what I want to talk about. That's what they call doer of the word. Doer of the word. Listen, let me tell you something. Doer of the word is not somebody that just obeyed 2 instructions. A doer of the word is the one that's so committed to the word. Remember I said it is the word that acts on. You know you that acts on the word. But he's so committed. She's so committed to the word constantly. I said before, obedience is a sign you have heard. So a doer of the word is one that hears with an attitude, with a special kind of attitude that indicates seriousness, with one simple desire to conform absolutely in every regard to what the word is saying. That's the doer of the word. And David described the doer like this. Please, let me just stop teaching here. He said, who is that doer? Is a person who is not moved by the persecutions of strong people, but by the word. Yeah. Somebody who despises falsehood, but loves the word of God. One who praises God constantly because of the righteous ordinances. He loves the law. He loves the word of God. He's constantly hoping for the salvation of God, that is waiting for the expectation of God, while busy keeping his commandments. That is that which God has promised will be fulfilled. My job right now is to keep the commandments for today. Not try to bring the salvation of God to pass. That's the mistake people make. If God gives somebody a word of prophecy that you are going to be a very rich man, they go and look for money. That's not what it is. If God, Paul said, abide in the calling where you were called. Do you get my point? If you are cutting grass, God says, I'm going to make you a very rich man. Don't stop cutting grass. When he says, come and cut grass, say, ah, okay. I'll not be a grass cutter again. Levels don't change. No. When God gave you that, what were you doing? You were cutting the grass. So next day, what do? Come back and cut the grass like a man that has prospered. You know how you do? Cut it with a smile. Cut it well. Then when neighbors pass, they want to know who mowed this lawn. But many people, when you tell them you'll be prospered, they want to bring it to pass. No, that's not what the word says. He said, I hope for your salvation. Therefore, I'm busy doing your commandments. No, look at it. It's your Bible. I didn't invent these things. So the way you're okay, looking at me. It's verse 166. In 167, it says, my soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. And I keep all your precepts and your testimonies before you. That's what it says. All my ways are before you. My job is to constantly keep your testimonies and your precepts. Let me stop it here. Next time, God helping me, I will remind us again. The word of God, we said, comes different ways. How does it come? Songs, testimonies, that's history. Stories, I said. Yeah, story. Stories can be history, can be testimonies. And then we'll talk about songs, poetry. And then we'll talk about instructions. The word of God comes those main ways. But there are five things you discover therein. His promises, his precepts, his commandments, his testimonies, which are personalized commandments, and the ordinances. We'll talk about them again to remind ourselves. Let us bow our head today and say, Father, thank you for the word.